What documents will protect you when you're in the business development phase, the let's explore this new product idea phase, and how can you get them without expensive lawyers? Find out on this BizWise podcast. Welcome to this BizWise podcast on the Cisco Interaction Network. I'm Jess Wells, editorial director, and we're here to bring you the latest thinking on business topics, specifically for the owner of a small and mid-sized company. On the line with us today is J. Nevin Schaefer, Jr., Esquire, patent attorney and author of Protect Your Great Ideas for Free, Free Steps for Protecting the Valuable Ideas Generated by Every Business Owner, Entrepreneur, Inventor, Author, and Artist. Nevin, welcome.
Thank you, Jess.
Now, when you say free in your book, what you mean is relatively free of lawyers' fees, right? There's still fees for filing various kinds of documents.
Yes, there are those fees, and I'm not advocating doing away with lawyers. Certainly, I am a lawyer, but the initial steps for protecting the idea don't cost you any money. You just have to know what they are.
Well, that's great, and especially for owners of small companies, free or relatively free is music to our ears. Now, I was struck by your original statement that people who don't have patents, for example, on new products, who maybe haven't invented anything, for example, think they don't have anything to protect. And that's not true, you say, right?
That is not true. In fact, if, as I say on my website, if you're in business, you have intellectual property. The problem I think most small business people have is they're so busy making their business go that they don't realize that it doesn't matter that they haven't invented the cure for cancer or something. If they're in business, they will have all these various attributes of a business, trademarks, copyrights, and trade secrets. So
Okay. They
have it, they just don't recognize it.
So, in fact, a lot of the owners of small businesses are unprotected. They're out there with their crown jewels without any sort of coverage, eh?
Well, they certainly, you know, a lot of these things rights attached to use of a trademark by using it. I mean, to a trademark by using it, for example, copyrights attached the instant you create it. But they need to identify a business owner, I believe, is at risk in the sense that you don't know if that you're losing something if you don't know you have something. So. So they have these things, and they are, in some circumstances, protected at least initially just by the very use or creation of them. But what my book tries to do is identify for them these various assets and then walk them through step by step how to perfect and maximize the protection that's available for those things.
Excellent. So let's talk, in fact, about the four key types of intellectual property that you identify in your book that can be protected. What are they and what can you do about those?
Well, the four key types are of intellectual property are patents, trademarks, copyrights, and trade secrets. And I am a patent attorney, and that is an attorney licensed by the federal government to help people protect their inventions by way of patents. And we used to just call ourselves patent attorneys, and then somebody had the idea that didn't sound too cool. We should call ourselves intellectual property lawyers, which I really like because that sounds cool. But in addition to sounding kind of cool, if it does, I think it does help our clients understand that there are three other ways to protect an idea while you're waiting for your patent to issue or if you never get a patent, and those are trademarks, copyrights, and trade secrets. So they are individual. They get confused easily. A patent is a form of protection that protects an invention, such as a new motor or a new chemical formula. A trademark protects the brand of a company, the words, symbols, or slogans that a company uses to distinguish itself from its competitors.
Mm-hmm.
Copyrights attached to original works of art and authorship, such as the artistic design in the logo or the artwork that's created to in an advertisement, certainly the written textual material in an ad,
mm-hmm.
or software. Protectable by copyrights, and trade secrets are those things that a business learns and knows how to about how to make money in its business that its competitors would love to know and you keep secret. So those are the four basic types of intellectual property, in addition to, of course, to licenses and other forms of agreements that a business uses to protect itself. So.
Well, let's talk about the trade secrets. I was particularly struck in your book by this whole idea of chronicling the things that make your company specifically different from anyone else in the marketplace. Even if you're just reselling somebody else's product and you don't have a patent, or you're not writing original material, so you don't necessarily have a copyright except on your ads, you have a series of trade secrets that you need to protect. And I was particularly struck by this idea that before you even open your doors, write those trade secrets down and then do what with them?
Well, then keep it zipped, you know, loose lips sink ships and all that. You know, you want to keep your secrets secrets. The problem, trade secrets don't have to be rocket science. I mean, the formula Coca-Cola and the recipe to Kentucky Fried Chicken are very famous trade secrets. But everybody in business has something that they know that they keep secret from their competitors. It can be how you process your material, how you source it, how you price it, what patent applications you have pending. Common and good example, for example, is your customer list. Don't you think Nike would love to know the list of people that bought Adidas tennis shoes?
Oh, sure. Okay.
Sure. And, you know, what does Adidas do? It keeps it secret.
Secret. Exactly.
So, but under trade secret law, you're protecting yourself against your competitor tomorrow, who is currently your most valuable employee. So there are people that know your secrets, and it's those people you need to watch out for. And so you take care of that, as I discuss in my book, by an employment agreement that says, look, I'm going to hire you, and I'm going to teach you how we make money here. And then before we fire you, or after we fire you and before you quit, you agree in writing right now to not take those secrets and use them against us. And then when they leave in the dead of night, because they always leave in the dead of night, and they open a competing website and send a 10% off email to all your clients, you can go to court and say, Judge, that person stole from me.
Exactly.
You know, so, anyway.
Very interesting. Very interesting. And how expensive is it to press a case like that? Is it worth it?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, it's a sad commentary on human frailty, I suppose, that happens more often than not. And intellectual property is a form of leverage. I'm in the protection business, and the protection afforded by a knowledge of trade secrets enables a business to quickly, inexpensively, and in their favor, end the inevitable conflicts that arise with every commercially successful business. You know, a commercially successful business will attract competitors like blood in the water attracts sharks. So you're going to have competitors.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go bankrupt, you've got other issues. But if you are in business and you're commercially successful, these things are likely to happen. And so in the case of trade secrets, a simple employment agreement that identifies your trade secrets, that's why you would have them written down, doesn't do you any good to say, well, now, I have trade secrets, and the judge says, well, you know, what are they? And say, well, I don't know, you know, this and that. You know, so better to have a document to refer to, and you educate your employees, this is what it is, and they sign off on that. Then if they take them, then it's stealing. And stealing is still bad behavior in every court in America, even California. So it's a simple thing and a simple way to end a common business occurrence. So.
Now, those trade secrets, that sounds like a document, a marketing plan or a business plan that you then get witnessed and lock away. But doesn't it then also need to be refreshed every time you decide on a new strategy or a new product line or a new tactic even?
Sure. you know, you're going to constantly be creating new secrets in your business. You're going to have new customers. You're going to modify your plan. You're going to have a new thought about the way to market these things or price these things or source these things. And so, yes, they need to be revisited much the same way as your will or any other important legal business tool. You would want to visit it, on occasion and update it.
Excellent. So let me change tact for just a minute here. You know, the American owner of a small business is increasingly called upon to grow through collaboration and partnership, for example. So let's say you're going to start fishing for a partnership that can help you expand your business. What type of protection do you need before you start those sorts of lunch meetings and conversations?
That's a good question. I would say the first thing you want to do, let's say you've come up with a new idea, and you want to discuss it with somebody, is, as I say in my book, there are three basic steps to protect your ideas or inventions, and that is make a written record of them to begin with and get it witnessed. Mm-hmm. That's the most valuable step because it gives you some tangible evidence that you can point to say, hey, it was my idea, at least as early as this document. And then you want to keep your information confidential. You want to, only discuss your ideas with people that are obligated by law to keep it confidential. And so, yes, you want to talk to people. The advice I'm giving is don't talk to anybody. That's kind of puts you in a corner, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But there are common business tools to get around that called non-disclosure agreements. And those agreements are simple contracts that say, I, Nevin, have a cool idea for an anti-gravity device in return for which, and I want to talk to you, General Motors, in return for which General Motors will examine this idea for the purposes of writing me a check for $35 billion or whatever, you know. But they agree not to disclose that information, non-disclosure agreement, and to keep it confidential. I like calling them non-disclosure confidentiality agreements because it says what they're not going to do. They're not going to disclose it. And what they are going to do, they are going to keep it confidential. So it covers the entire spectrum there.
Well, and I liked what you said in your book about when you reach out to another company, ask for their non-disclosure confidentiality agreement as opposed to sending one of your own along. It looks a little more elegant.
Well, I think it may be more elegant, but also eliminates the cost of you drafting your own non-disclosure agreement.
Okay.
Certainly, a lawyer could do that, but a lawyer's going to charge you for it, and that has no place in protecting your ideas for free. And the truth is, all you do when you send them your non-disclosure agreement to General Motors is start the battle of the forms. They will look at that and say, well, forget Schaefer's non-disclosure agreement, whoever he is.
Mm-hmm.
Here's ours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
You might as well ask them for theirs. But my advice certainly is never sign anything until your lawyer looks at it. But it sure does get the ball going faster than to start with your own.
Okay. All right. Well, now, another trend we're seeing is the globalization of the small business. More small companies selling overseas, sourcing their manufactured goods overseas, either parts of the goods or the goods themselves. Now, you suggest that a foreign patent is, expensive, unenforceable, not really worth the time and trouble. What advice would you give to a company interested in sourcing or sourcing manufactured products overseas or in fact selling overseas?
Well, I think that might be maybe I said that. I reread my book last night and I was quite pleased with it actually. But
good for you. Excellent. You're a brave man.
But it amused me at any rate. But I think it's not that foreign patents aren't enforceable. It's just that they're not the proper strategy for a small business. I mean, IBM, Hewlett-Packard, and so forth play in those big arenas, China, Japan, elsewhere, because they have businesses there. They have offices there.
Mm-hmm.
But the local U.S. inventor, I think, would be better served to look at a foreign patent much the same way as I look at a sailboat. It's a black hole into which you spend a lot of money for very little return, you know. And if you get a patent in Chisbacca, wherever, what good is it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know where it is, you know. So.
Mm-hmm.
So what I encourage instead is do your research. It's folder number 3 My three-folder plan is, where is the market? And that is where you should protect your business intellectual property assets. And the truth is, the best market in the world for the U.S. company is the U.S. We're the world's market at this point. And yes, people, if you mean, most things supposedly are made in China these days. It used to be Japan. I'm so old, I remember when they were our, you know.
Many of us do.
Cheap stuff.
That's right.
So much lead in it, but anyway, they've moved on and become prosperous, and now China's a place to make it. But it's not where it's going to be made that you need to worry if you're a small business. It's where you're going to be, where it's going to be sold. So you need to identify your market. And yes, they, without a patent in China, they can't. You can't stop them from making, using, or selling it there.
Mm-hmm.
But with a patent in the United States, if that's your best market, yes, it could be made in China. You may have it made in China, but you can say, well, okay, I want it made there, but you can't sell it or use it here without my permission.
I see. Okay. All right. That's good. So let's talk about stages of growth, various forms of coverage. What is needed when you start versus grow to the next level versus acquire a new company?
Well, there's really, once you come, a small business person comes to understand that they have intellectual property and they identify them, they will need to tend those things periodically. If you have a patent, it must be maintained for its life. Same thing with a trademark. Copyrights have essentially a one-term life plus 50 years, I believe it is now, might be 70 years, actually. And then trade secrets last as long as you keep them secret, but you will add to them, as we've already discussed. As your company grows, you'll have other inventions that are patented. You'll have new brands that you're introduced and are protected by trademark, and new ads and software and so forth that are protected by copyrights in addition to your growing customer list. So it's not that that the forms are going to change. You're just going to add to them as your company grows. And my advice is, of course, identify them, review them, as we mentioned, on a regular basis. And if you've never done that before, intellectual property lawyers such as myself offer what are called intellectual property asset analysis, where you can say, I've never even heard of that, you know, that I have it. What do I have? And they will come in and say, well, you have all of this stuff.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. The book is Protect Your Great Ideas for Free, and there are scores of helpful internet links, sample documents, and step-by-step instructions for staying protected. Fascinating information, Nevin. Thanks so much for being here.
Yes, it was my pleasure. A lot of fun.
This has been our BizWise podcast on the Cisco Interaction Network. Join us weekly by subscribing. We're covering everything from cash flow to Web 2.0 marketing, and there are new podcasts every week. And be sure to check out our video broadcasts as well. Just go to cisco.com/go/interact/BizWise. I'm Jess Wells. Thanks for joining us.